Dave, if we could share the screen with my my helper there, which I okay, let's see if we can share that screen. Can we do that, Mark? Okay, Holt Disability Sharing. Okay, let's see if we get this going here. It's still not doing it. I'm hitting share screen. Host disabled attendee screen sharing. I'm depending on your brother, please. How are we doing there, Mark?
Hey, I can see you.
Is it you or is it me? Okay.
Try now, Earl.
Okay, let's do it. Okay, there we go. Thank you so much. I don't know who got me on, but share. Okay. Well, let me just get this going here. Ah, I'm up and running. Are you up and running?
Yeah, we can see you, Ron. We can see it.
Okay, absolutely awesome. And okay, let's just get this here. Yep, okay. So I really, really have enjoyed, and I'm still enjoying ACTS. It's really a wonderful study, but it's very interesting that we're sort of taking a break for a couple of weeks. And I don't see Brian. Brian, are you with us? I was just going to give him a hard time, that's all.
Brian's away this weekend.
Pardon?
They're away this weekend.
Okay, well, you'll have to tell him that I really, really enjoyed his message last week. I checked with Andrew and I got the link. I listened to it actually twice, and I made, two pages of notes. And but there was one thing wrong with it, and you'll have to tell him this, you know. This is the way I preach. This is me right now. Now, the problem with him there, but he didn't have a tie. So to make his message perfect, I put a tie on him. Is that okay? Now it's a perfect message. Anyway, I want to thank him for his excellent message last week. And he said, and I quote word for word, Saul says hello with, we are in the gospel together. We are in the gospel together, he said. And I thought that was very appropriate and very helpful to me, because we are in the gospel together. And I would like to encourage you to listen to his message from last week. His introduction was absolutely phenomenal, and I enjoyed it immensely. And he had wonderful graphics, which helped me a lot. And also he had the four spiritual laws. He had the spirit-filled life. So it was a great message. So if you didn't get a chance to listen to it, I think it's well worth it, because it gave a lot of background to the book of Galatians. And I certainly was blessed by it, and I'm sure each and every one of you will be blessed by it also. This week, we're looking at the next part of chapter 1, verses 11 to 23, and the main verse in that whole section is exactly, "Behold, I was born, before I was born, God chose me and called me by his marvelous grace." Marvelous grace. Now, if I could sing, I would sing a couple of songs that are in my head all week. But if I did that, you'd shut me off just like that. But some versions say his marvelous grace, and others say his amazing grace. And so we're going to get into this. But first, I might say that, you know, Paul was saved. He was born again. He was regenerated. And when we see his conversion, I hope it'll encourage all of us. So let's turn in our Bibles, each person with their own Bibles. We will have it up on the screen here, and we're going to read it. I'm wondering if there's one of our brethren there on the screen would like to read this. I'm sure Mark can make it possible. He does miracles there. Or maybe it's Andrew today. I don't know. But would somebody like to read that for us? There's only a few verses. You can read it straight off the screen if you want, and we'll listen to you. Thank you.
I can do that. Galatians chapter 1, verses 11. For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that's preached by me is not man's gospel. For I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. You have heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people, so extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my fathers. But when he who had set me apart before I was born, and who called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son to me, in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with anyone, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went away to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then, after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to visit Cephas and remained with him 15 days. For I saw none other of the apostles except James, the Lord's brother. And what I am writing to you, before God, I do not lie. And then I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was still unknown in person to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only were hearing it said, he who used to persecute us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy.
Thank you so much, brother. So beautiful. I think the most important part of any message is the word of God. And as most of you know, because of many different reasons or excuses I use, I don't read very well. So here we are, and we've read the scripture. Now we're going to see what has God got in store for us. You know, it's such a beautiful study on the whole idea that Paul is called by God, or Saul, Paul, was called by God. And my whole message really is on transformation, transformation. And it's so loving, loving story because he was transformed. We all love a good transformation story, don't we? I love them, you know. That's why the gospel does. That's what the real gospel does. That's what the Bible does. The word of God does. It transforms us. It transforms us. It makes us anew from the inside, not just from the outside, because my little stale joke about the tie is that's on the outside. That doesn't matter. I'm only kidding. It's what's inside that matters. And when we look at this story, we see that his desires, he had new desires. He had new projects. He had a new ears. He had new eyes. He had a new mouth. I mean, Paul was transformed completely. And sometimes I ask myself, am I transformed? It's a process, of course. It says in the word of God to grow in grace. It's a growing in grace and in the knowledge. It's not just like that. Some people it is. But I think life is a transforming into the image of our blessed Lord. Becoming a Christian is not just joining a club. It's like a caterpillar becoming a butterfly. You like that illustration? I love that illustration. And I studied a lot about butterflies this week, believe it or not. And the word of God says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. Yes, my life began when I was 10 years old. But I was young. I hadn't really entered into real life yet, but I have seen the transformation of hundreds of people over the years at Union Gospel Mission, Central City Mission, Harbor Light Mission, on the street corners of East Vancouver, on the downtown area. I've seen people change 180 degrees. Yes, we all love a transforming story. Do you remember this guy? No, nobody remembers him? That's Ebenezer Scrooge. Remember him in the Christmas story? Well, overnight, he was a transformation from a miserable miser to a joyful, giving person. That was a change. Remember that? No. Nobody's. No. Anyway, you know, another fella I like so much. When I was a kid, he was one of my favorites. You remember this guy? You remember? Remember when we used to say, it's a bird, it's a plane, it's Superman. Do you remember that? Oh, we're in church. We're not supposed to show pictures of Superman. Anyway, you get the picture? Good. Well, how about this guy? I love him. Eh? And he has a body like mine. Look at it. Remember that? The transformation when he got angry. You like those stories? I sure do. I still like them. And my grandchildren like them. Yes, but there's something more exciting, dear friends. There's a spiritual transformation, which is much more exciting. And I've seen it over and over. These are amazing loves of these stories. You know, even Zorro, you remember him? Remember one day he's like this, next day he's Zorro, and he these are wonderful things. But I have seen spiritual transformation, and that's what I'm into, and that's what Parkcrest is interested in. They're trying to get people to transform into the image of Christ, and that's why we have these meetings on Zoom. That's why we pray together over Zoom. That's why we phone each other up. That's why we text each person to encourage them, to build them up, to stimulate them. That's the whole process of transformation. And we're in it together. Just as Brian said last week, we're in it together. We're in the gospel. We're into the good news. And the good news is that we can change. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Yes, transformation. The Word of God says very clearly that, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. Becoming a Christian, as I said earlier, is not like joining a club. It's not just about information, but transformation. Notice that. Sure, we get the Word of God and we got information, and the Word of God is exciting, and the Word of God is rich, and the Word of God is something to make us grow. But it's not just information, even though it is information. It's the power of transforming my life into the image of Christ. I get so upset with myself sometimes. Do you? Oh, I'm sure you get upset with me, but how about yourself? Do you ever get upset with yourself? I do, because I want to be like Christ. He is my model. He's my hero. He's my Superman. I don't think I'm supposed to say that. Anyway, you know what I mean. I mean, he's the one that I want to be like. I like Paul. Oh, he's great. I like Peter. I'm more of a Peter than a Paul, but anyway, that does neither here nor there. But I want to be like Christ. And that's what Paul wanted to do. You know, this fellow here, David, down below here, says, we need more than a minor adjustment when it comes to Christ. Only the gospel can transform someone from the inside out. From the inside out. Yes? After the resurrection of Jesus, there's no single event affected the course of the church history so much as the call of Paul. I mean, he was so transformed, the church began, and he went out to the Gentiles, which was a no-no at that time. He was called of God to do exploits for him. I mean, many wonderful things have happened over the different revivals and so on, but it all go back to the conversion of Paul, and that's so exciting. You know, I like this fella here. Listen to what he said. I am not the man I ought to be. I am not the man I wish to be. And I am not the man I hope to be. But by the grace of God, I am not the man I used to be. And you know this fellow, John Newton. And he understood this transformation. He was a slave trader. He was a violent man. We say chupado. He would be drinking all the time. He'd be drunk. He'd be fighting in the bars. And he was supporting slavery. But you know, I love what he put on his tombstone. John Newton, clerk, once an infidel, a servant of slaves in Africa, was by the rich mercy of our Lord and Savior Jesus restored, pardoned, and appointed to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, why don't you just sit back? I'm standing. I'm not going to sit down, but sit back and have a sip of your coffee, and we're going to listen to his song that he wrote. We're not going to listen to the whole thing, but close your... There you have, Andrew, that's good. I'm glad to see you having a drink. Yeah, everybody sit back, relax. And let's just see what we have in store here, okay? You're going to get inspired. These words are fantastic. Amazing. Great. Grace of God, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But there's other examples. There's other examples in today's world that of transformation. And how about this fella? He was one of the most powerful men in the world as a henchman for Richard Nixon. He was sent to prison, but he was converted, and he has the greatest ministry in the prisons that's ever been known. Transformation. Now, all the stories aren't dramatic like these fellas. Maybe you're sitting there in your living room or in your den, and you say, well, I'm no Chuck Colson. I'm no Billy Graham. But see, God uses all of us. He used Paul in a great way. And we're going to look into that. And we're going to see how we can try to apply some of the things in Paul's life to our lives so that God can use us. The big thing here is we've got to be open. We've got to be open. And God, that's what he wants. He wants us to be willing and to be open. You know, Colson gives some illustrations about how we can testify. And these we can still use with Skype, with Zoom, with internet, and all the different things like that. But it says here in 1 Peter, but in your heart revere God as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Do this with gentleness and respect. And God is still opening up doors. God is still opening up doors. For instance, Chuck says, he gives some direction when sharing your story with others. See, it's your story that counts. You can preach to them until you're blue in the face, but it's the Holy Spirit working through you, and he will use your testimony. Don't preach. Just talk. Have a conversation. This is one of the problems I have as a sort of an evangelist. I want to get into the word, and I want to get that across to them, and I want to make sure that, but don't preach. Just talk to them. Send them a text. Have a conversation with them over the internet. Have a conversation with them with WhatsApp. Don't generalize. Be specific. Tell them what you were and what you are now. Tell them that transformation. It might not be a big thing like some of these people we've looked at, but God can use your testimony. Don't be vague and mysterious. Be clear and simple. These are things that Chuck says in his book. Don't defend yourself. Just deliver your story. It is easy to argue theology. It's much harder to argue with a changed life. Yes? Hear the gospel, believe the gospel, and live the gospel. That's where action's going to happen. Be brief, logical, and most of all, be humble. That's so important. Paul writes, but I made known to you, brothers, concerning the good news which was preached by me, that is not according to man. It's your testimony. And people today are interested in people, probably more so today than other times. People are lonely. People want to have conversation. I could give you three examples this week. I won't, but three examples just like that of people that we were able to talk to over the fence. One of them was at the church. We were doing some work at the church, and one of the workers beside the church was doing some construction there at a distance with the mask on and all that. But there's openings all the time, and that is so true. I received it by direct revelation from Jesus Christ. Share your testimony. And when you look in Galatians chapter 1, verses 11 to 23 there, you'll see this. I received it by direct revelation from Jesus Christ. Haven't we all? Sure, God uses people. I was up at Amble Island, standing around a fire on the banks of the ocean. And someone was preaching, and the Lord convicted me. But it was the Lord who revealed it to me. I had listened to the gospel for 3 years at Cascades Gospel Chapel as a young child. And when I went up to camp as a young child also, it hit me. So we have to share our faith. And remember, you can tell people that it's not man's idea. It's the word of God's idea. And that's what we got to get across to them. Verse 13. Notice verse 13 there, please. 13. What's it say there in 13? It says here, you know what I was like when I followed the Jewish religion. You know what I was like when I followed the Jewish religion. And you can tell people that. Tell them the way you were. Maybe some of you were from another religion. Maybe some of you were from a well-known religion. Maybe some of you were just heathens or atheists. Just tell them the way it is. We don't have to put anything on. We don't have to make it dramatic. You might have not fallen off a horse and a light shone on you, but we can use what God tells us to do. Yes, transformation. That's what it's all about. He says, I violently persecuted God's church. That's what Paul did. He violently. And we see that in verse 13, 14, and 15. I did not my best to destroy it. I was far ahead of my fellow Jews in my zeal for the traditions of my ancestors. This is that fellow who was changed 180 degrees. He was transformed. And that's so important that we have to change. Even before I was born, God chose me and called me by his marvelous grace. Isn't that wonderful? That is absolutely fantastic. But before I was born, God chose me and called me by his marvelous grace. Then it pleased him to reveal his son to me so that I would proclaim the good news about Jesus to the Gentiles. When this happened, I did not rush out to consult with any human beings. And when I was reading and listening to what Brian was saying, and he says that this whole event, and he took us back to Acts, and he and Brian took us back to Acts, and he showed how Paul was converted. He was transformed. Yes, over and over in the scriptures, we see, be transformed. Are you transformed? Am I transformed? Are we working towards the image of Christ? This is a challenge for me and for you, for all of us listening. Yes, grace changes everything. But even before I was born, God chose me and called me by his marvelous grace. And in Ephesians, I mean, there again, predestinated before the foundation of the earth. I know it's hard to understand. I've studied for years and years and years, but that's the way it is. It's God's grace. God's grace has chosen every one of you watching, listening to this message. And God has chosen you. And God wants you to change. He wants me to change. He wants me to be back in the image of Christ. You know, sometimes we domesticate the gospel and forget that it's the power of God. There's power as we sing, there's power in the blood. The gospel is not a flannel graph illustration to charm children like years ago. It's not just a PowerPoint presentation. It is the power of God to transform the life of even the most hardened criminals. I've seen it. I've been into Kent. I remember one time I was preaching and guy said to me, he said, those 13 people there are all lifers. They're lifers. But I've seen many of them transformed into the image of Christ. The gospel is not a mere formula to get saved. It is a divine power that brings about the salvation to those who will believe. The gospel is not simply a message about how to get right with God. It is the presence of God himself ending us and talking to us and sharing with us and encouraging us to be transformed. That's what I want to be. It's not always that way, but we're working together, aren't we? And that's the nice thing about the community at Parkcrest. You can work together. Looking back, notice when Paul was talking about his life before Jesus. Look at it when you get time. He was always using the pronoun I must, I. But in these verses now, the I has gone. And it's all about God, about what God did. God did this. God did that. God did the other thing. We've got to get rid of the I and put God in our place. And that comes from Jeremiah. And we read in Jeremiah, the word of the Lord came to me saying, behold, I was formed in the womb. Before I was formed in the womb, I knew you. Because you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nation. Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 to 5. That's where Paul gets this. Paul knew the Old Testament. I mean, he was a scholar. He was brilliant. And over in his writings, we can see different times that he uses illustrations from the Old Testament. Just as a reminder, who was the first person to acknowledge the Messiah? John the Baptist, while he was in the womb. He acknowledged, he jumped and got excited. So interesting. Paul was called by God by grace. It was nothing in Paul except grace. Paul, even though he was a Pharisee, even though he was a learned person, even though he was brilliant, notice what he says here in Galatians 2:20-21. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by the faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for it is righteousness and can be gained through the law. Christ died for nothing. Notice what he says. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. But Christ didn't die for nothing. Christ died for your sins and my sins, and he died for Paul's sins. And as we allow him to rule in our life and to guide us in our life, you know, it's the whole idea, as I said before, the caterpillar becomes a butterfly on a dusty stretch of road leading to Damascus. Isn't that interesting when you think of it? That man that was had a hatred for Christ. He had a hatred for Christians. He wanted to destroy the church. He wanted to blot out the name of Jesus. But he was transformed into a beautiful apostle of Jesus Christ. That's what I want. That's what I'm praying for. Yeah, it was radical change. How radical was this change? Paul was a fanatic, zealous. He was a missionary for the Jewish people. The Gentiles, the non-Jewish people, I mean, he didn't want to even go to them. But God changed him. And I want God to radically change my life. Even as I get older, as we go through different seasons in life, a lot of people say, oh, but you've been a Christian for 63 years. It's easy. No. It's a process. It's a process of becoming like Jesus. Here are a list of three things that happened after Paul's salvation. Paul, when he on the road to Damascus, he went into the city and he was transformed. And here's some of the things that we'll read in the Bible. I didn't have to consult with any human being, even though Ananias restored his sight, he did not share with him what happened on the road into town. Read that. You'll see that. I did not go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before me. The Judaisms were accusing him of learning his gospel from apostles and then changing it when he preached. No, he didn't. How about this one? I went to Arabia. Later, I went to Damascus. We are not really sure what he did in Arabia, which was a desert region east of Damascus. But you know what I think he did? I could be wrong. He spent time with Jesus. That was so important. Because I've searched and searched and searched the 3 years he was there. What did he do? I believe that he was in a desert place. And he was spending time with Jesus. The importance of spending time with Jesus. If we want to be transformed, he spent 3 years. And those 3 years, I'm positive that he just spent time with Jesus. He didn't have any internet there. He didn't have a telephone. He certainly didn't have a cell phone. But he had Jesus. And he spent time. And we all get caught up, especially people like myself who enjoy technology, we get caught up. But we've got to spend time with Jesus. If you want to be transformed, if you want to be like Jesus, you've got to read about him. You've got to read about him. You know, my testimony, and I apologize if I'm saying over and over again, but, you know, when I was young at Anvil Island, I did three correspondence courses from Emmaus. I think that was the start of my education. Three correspondence courses. Three. Emmaus, Anvil Island, 10 years old, 12 years old, 14 years old. And then I started doing other Emmaus courses. I did 40 of them. Just enjoying them. I wanted to know more about Jesus. I wanted to be transformed. And then I went to 4 years at Bethel Bible School in French to study about Jesus. And people said, especially in the churches that I went, was affiliated with in Quebec, they said, you don't need that. You just have to stay here. And 3 years. Then I came back to beautiful British Columbia from Quebec, and I went to the Bible school down there, Northwest Baptist Theological College, and got a bachelor's degree. Then I went back there for 4 more years and got a master's degree. Now, why am I telling you, dear friends? Not to brag. I'm just giving this as an example. The hunger that we need to have for the Word of God. The hunger that we need to get into the Word of God. So important. So important. Have you been changed by the gospel? You might be listening to this some other different way. You might share this with some of your friends. Have you been born again? Do you have a pre-Jesus, post-Jesus story? If you do have a story, share that story. It is so important. Share it. Share it. You know, it is so important that we don't want to be like a stagnant lake. Up there where Esther's from, there's a lot of these lakes up in the West Bank area. Sorry. Anyway, there's these lakes, pools of water. And you drive by there. I've got pictures of them. I was going to put them on here, but time doesn't permit. But there's these pools of water. And all around the water is white. Now, seeing that going up in the interior? See, what happens? Water comes into these pools of water, and it sits there. And it sits there. There's no vegetation. There's no fishies in there. It's dead. It's like the Dead Sea. Why? Because the water comes in, but it doesn't go out. It's like us spiritually. We've got to share what God gives us. As you read a verse from Scripture, as you talk to somebody on the phone, as you type somebody, you know what God showed me this week? This. Do you know what I realized this week? That. We've got to share it. So I trust that you will share it, and that you will we'll go back to the stop sharing. Okay, there we go. And I just hope that this has been an encouragement and a challenge to you. It's a challenge to me, and I'm enjoying Galatians. And so Andrew, next week, whoever preaches, send me the link, because you know this is the only way we're going to grow. If we want to grow, if we want to be transformed, we've got to impregnate, we've got to saturate our minds, our life with the Word of God. God bless you, and let's just have a little word of prayer, and then I hand it over to Andrew. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for Galatians chapter 1, verses 11 to 21, 23. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that we could glean some pearls from that particular chapter. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that as we dug into it, that you have shown us a few things, and we thank you for the possibility of being transformed. And Lord, we don't want to be the caterpillar. We want to be a beautiful, beautiful, gorgeous butterfly for you. Transform us, Heavenly Father. Help us to get into the Word of God. Help us to share the Word of God. Help us to live the Word of God. And we'll give you all praise and glory that certainly belongs to you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Andrew.